So talk about different dimensions of fellowship. I think this is very important. Why am I recording this? Why am I preaching this? Why is this something that's in my heart? Specifically because I esteem relationships just as important as the relationship with the Lord. The Pharisees asked, or somebody asked Jesus, you know, what's the greatest commandment? I think they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And the one that's just as great, love your neighbor as yourself. So he didn't just do that because that would justify their fear of the Lord, but lack of love towards others. But he said, this is a two-sided coin. It's one coin. And that's loving your neighbor as yourself, or love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and your neighbor as yourself. So for me, relationships is just as equivalent, just as important. You know, John said, how can you say you love God, but you don't love your brother? So our love for God unfolds, is shown, it's proven that we know him when we love. But this love is more than just an affection towards. You know, Paul says if you receive any bowels of affection, you receive consolation of love, fellowship with the Spirit. I think he said anything like he's just saying all these different things from God. If you receive the nature of Christ, the nature of the Spirit, the nature of love, like if you experience these dynamics, make my joy complete by becoming one heart and one mind, being like-minded with one another, having the same heart, having the same mind. I think this is in Philippians or Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Or maybe, I'm sorry, Galatians. Sound like Galatians. One of them. But I recognize that is a high quality. So as I started being healed from the me that I thought I was and discovering this life of Christ, it didn't isolate my relationship with God as a personal relationship, but as a body. Our Father as he is in heaven. Our Father, our Father who is in heaven. Like that I becomes a corporate I once you're healed from the selective individual I of the flesh. You now identify with the corporate I of the all men, our Father in heaven. Like Paul says, I bow my knee to the Father of every family in heaven and on earth who derives their name. So we see that he's a father of humanity because of Christ. Can a nation be born in a day? You know, like Isaiah 66 says. So I'm recognizing that this quality has its utmost necessity in the discovery of the reality. And what I mean by that is like, when we come to know Christ, when we come to believe in him and discover our union with him, we don't stop there. We pursue union. You know, Jesus says, I and you, you and me. We pursue the discovery of being in him and him being in us as what the I am is. Jesus said, on that day, you'll know that I am in you, you're in me, I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. So you're going to know this union that surpasses your human understanding. But the you that he's saying that he's in is not your individual body, you know. It's in the essence of humanity. I in humanity, you know. The kingdom of God is within you. He didn't say within each of you or within you all. He says within you. Whenever that you is a plural you, it's not a singular. So we should never identify individually, or else we are going to only fellowship with the Spirit within us. And I believe that's why Paul is like, there's one body and one spirit, one faith. I mean, one hope in which we are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know, one God and Father of us all, you know. So it just shows that in the spirit, from the heavens point of view, the individual parts of the body is actually one body. And they're just as we are in fellowship and discovery of union with the Word, the head of all men, Christ, we are also in discovery of union with the body. So once this discovery is pursued, like, just as there's no limit in our discovery of union with Christ, there's no limit in our discovery with one another, in our union with one another. You know, so I wanted to speak on the fellowship, the different dimensions of fellowship, and I had to just clarify a lot of things so that this isn't just something that's said, but that it is seen as just as important. You know, I remember having a dream when I first started believing, and the Lord was just speaking to me in a dream, and everybody was at, man, this is crazy. This is crazy, man. Everybody in this, like, I went in this church, and every room was different, but the room that I specifically remember was a room where everybody was pulling a spiritual slot machine, and they were looking to gain for their own spiritual development. And that is how we go to church sometimes. That's how I've always gone to church. Let me go to church to become one with Christ. And although that is a dynamic that is necessary, that is has its utmost necessity, like Paul says, make my joy complete by becoming one heart, one mind. This second side of the coin is super necessary, or else you'll be pulling a slot machine on an island and with an imitation God, with a God that is an imitation, or you'll be limiting, like the scriptures say, quenching the spirit or grieving the spirit. You know, and we do that when we don't love. I think when he mentions, I think it's quenching or grieving, when he mentions that, he's talking about our relation with one another, backbiting, anger, you know, jealousy, all these different things that creates a divide in our I am identity. I'm like this, but you're not like this, you know, when in reality we're one people. And the proof that we are believing that it is in the quality of our fellowship. The scripture says in the book of Acts that the early church devoted themselves to four dynamics. It said they devoted themselves to the scriptures, or the apostles' teachings, which is the teachings of Christ, the apostolic teachings, just the how they were taught to see Christ in all of the scriptures, even the Old Testament scriptures. You know, coming into the knowledge of Christ through the scriptures, through the apostles. And then another element was prayer. You know, engaging the reality of the scriptures to align to the fellowship with who the scriptures point to. You know, and another one was fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship, creating bridges and discovering the equality and the harmony and the equalization of a your strength and strengthen me. Iron sharpening iron. Unity. One heart, one mind. Being in agreement. Thinking the same things. Understanding the same. Like, they devoted themselves to spending time getting to know one another. And another one was breaking bread. Like, living together. Doing life together. So this specific one, fellowship, I wanted to speak on the dynamics, the different elements of fellowship. Because everybody has a different quality of the knowledge of Christ and the exploration of the kingdom. You know, like, Christ didn't just teach us to explore the kingdom in doings, you know, and go out and do his will, even though that's something he taught them to do. That wasn't the only thing. He taught them how to pray, how to explore the dimensions of the Spirit. You know, he taught them how to love one another. You know, he commanded them to love one another. So, exploring the dimensions of their union with one another. There are many qualities in which he taught them, you know. And I kind of felt this only, but I don't really have everything that is... Like, every quality is just a few specifics that are sticking out. And, you know, because we have the Holy Spirit will always speak louder than the speaker. If I'm saying something, the Spirit will illuminate maybe a deeper truth or a broadened reality of the truth that is being spoken of. You know, the first dimension is communion, koinonia, communion, which is the exchange of revelation and knowledge and, like, and prophecy. And this is, like, a grace that enables us to wash each other with the water of the word. You know, as we're fellowship and we're serving one another to remembrance unto the mind of Christ. The challenge of this dimension is if we identify in just a state of consciousness, a state of I am, you know, if we're identifying with the history of the I am and just the, what we're used to, we'll stay on that linear plane. You know, when God wants us to update in our consciousness unto him. Like, he wants his consciousness to occupy the context of his body. And when his consciousness occupies the context of this body, that is him in us. Or his word abiding in us. His word abiding in us is not just us holding on to scriptures. It's his consciousness occupying the context of this life. So it'll no longer be an I of your upbringing. You know, because we all identify before, when we first came to Christ, we identify with the I of our upbringing. And that was all in darkness. And when we came to Christ, there was a new I that surfaced, but sometimes that new I can still be in the characteristics or the understanding according to this life. When the truth is we are dead. And our life is now hidden with Christ and God. So the reality of the I, of the I am that we engage, that we live from, the reality of that is Christ. It's like having a mansion inside of you, having many, like they say, there's a limitless capacity in the exploration of space. There's a limitless capacity in the exploration of our bodies. You know, just looking at the biography or biology of everything. So just imagine that your body being a mansion full of limitless rooms. If that mansion was full of darkness, no lights on in that mansion, then there is a context. There is a narrative that you're living from in darkness, and you're using your imagination on. You know, I'm a basketball player, or I like this, I like that. Like, all of these qualities that updated our personality from the beginning of our upbringing has been in the context of this earthly life. So the journey of the Spirit is to lead us into all truth, the reality of truth, the reality of Christ. But God desires truth in our inward parts. Truth isn't just what we see. Truth is who we be. That's why He desires truth in our inward parts. But yet the Spirit leads us into all truth, and the Spirit searches our hearts. But yet the Spirit searches the deep things of God. So in reality, the essence of what we are is not our opinion of us, which is what we see in darkness, what we've created, what has been created in us through the demonic realm. You know, it created an I that it wasn't Christ. You know, as we are exploring through the light of the Spirit of revelation, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord, as the dimensions of the Spirit illuminate the reality of Christ, every room renews. Like, every room is like the spirit of our mind, the essence of our mind, the capacity of our mind. And we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Each room just turns on. And it goes from Adam to Christ. Adam to Christ. Adam to Christ. Each room. And as we are being updated in the I am Christ, he's being animated in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as we're serving one another in fellowship, we are enabling that disposition to be updated in the identity of Christ and not just the knowledge of Christ. Or else we'll stay visiting home. We'll stay visiting I am. You know, because the Spirit is the illumination or the revelation of reality, but the truth is the essence and substance that is revealed in that reality. Christ. You know, if I shine light, Spirit, on a picture, truth, you see the truth of that picture. You know, but if I don't hold on to the truth, I will be like the scriptures say, looking in the mirror, but walking away and forgetting who I am. Because the I am that I see in Christ is the I am in me. He's the light of all men. In Him is life, and that life is the light of all men, you know. So this is very important, that we have a capacity to be updated. That's why becoming childlike is a requirement in the faith, because the faith, we add to our faith. You know, we discover the fullness of our faith, but if we have a context of an I, if we have a narrative, a character, and a limitation of what I am is, then we subject ourselves to just going to visit the Spirit. We subject ourselves to visiting the mirror, but forgetting. Or we subject ourselves to growing, but not, but never reaching the stature, you know. And the Spirit of understanding or Spirit of revelation brings us to a stature, because the Spirit of revelation reveals the consciousness of Christ in us and as us, so that it's not just in you and you can turn it on and off, but it's as you, and what we identify with is how we relate, it's how we exist. When we're pure in subconscious or pure in heart, we see God as a lifestyle, you know. Man, this is beautiful. I mean, because this is my experience with several relationships, you know, because I have this experience, and I've had this experience with relationships. Like, I am graced to articulate this, you know, like this isn't a idea that I'm getting revelation on. This is something I've been living with and living in every time I relate to those who are willing to be updated in the consciousness of Christ. You know, revelation is not, it's not necessarily like, it's not entertainment. It is identity. It's the sharpening of iron. It's the bringing forth of the truth of what that iron is. The iron is the word. The word is alive, active, sharpening any two-edged sword. So, like, that is what the iron is being sharpened unto. So that Christ, the word, is flesh. You know? But the hindrance, like I said, is the iron filter and character that we've always identified with. You know? And that's a scary thing, because that's all, like, we've came to Christ and we've thought that Christ only wanted to save us from the sinful nature, to stop us from doing wrong. That is a capacity that he does, you know, in deliverance, uprooting the demonic realm and sinful nature, unrooting, you know, demons and all psychology of the demonic realm. But there's another element in which the Spirit renews our minds by His blood, renews our consciousness, and that renewal wells up to eternal life. It wells up to the capacity of the Father and the Son in us. Hallelujah. And the goal is for the Father and the Son to be at home in us, like the scriptures say in Ephesians 3. You know, pray that the abundant riches of your grace, of your glory, be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man, in their inner self, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. You know, and as he's exploring even deeper the Christ, seeing that this Christ is rooted and grounded in love, in the Father's love, in the dimensions of the Father's love, in the chambers of his heart. And he'll be able to grasp with the saints, with the body of Christ, the exploration of this love. And as a result, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. So you're exploring the Spirit explores the depths of the life within, the Christ within, so that there's a context of the I am that is filled with the fullness of God. You know, in our I am center, in our I am seat. You know, to get to a place where, like, I believe God wants us to get to a place where, if when we say I am, we're not relating to the capacity of our upbringing. When we say I am, we're not relating to anything but Him. You know, like, if you look at Moses and God said to Moses, like, I'm going to make you a God to them. But yet, right, watch this. Who sent you, Moses? Lord, who would I say sent me? Tell them, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, I am. Tell them, I am sent you. You know, another translation of Yahweh or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is I am. I am that I am. So, Pharaoh, who sent you? I am that I am sent me. Like, I'm going to make you a guide to them. So, that was a reality that was surfacing, you know, in his ministry. God never wanted to be outside of us talking to us. That was our ignorance. That was because of sin. First it was God to us. Then when Christ came, it was God with us. But Christ said, I gotta go so that the Spirit can be with you. Like, there's a greater one that you want to be with me. There's a greater one that you want to be with you than me. And that's the Spirit. Because the Spirit reveals me and the Father in you. And that reality becomes a seat of your I am-ness, and God's conviction and desire becomes restored. Because we look at Christ, we see, he says, the Father is working in me. When you see me, you see the Father. So the Father was his I am-ness. And when he said about him, I am in the Father, the Father's working in me. So there was a union reality that was revealed in God. I mean, in Christ, in God. That essential element of union, of oneness, is actually something he wanted to restore in man. Because without that oneness, we're divided as people. We're separate. But if we see ourselves as one another, there's no limit. That unity, nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop the unity of those in the Tower of Babel. So how much more those in the body of Christ, in the Tower of Christ, you know? If our exchange becomes no longer a, how you doing, man? Yeah, I'm good. Or a distant expression of what God is doing in us. But yet, I wish, like Paul said, I wish that you all prophesy one to another. Prophecy is surfacing Christ within that other individual. Whether it's directional, whether it's wisdom, or whether it's understanding. The spirit of prophecy is secret place talk. And when God gives someone the gift of prophecy, or the spirit of prophecy, the gift to prophesy to another person, that person, like, it's not just so that they know that God knows them. That is an element. But it's also so that relationship is seen in a transparent form. So that person who prophesied can see at a greater clarity who that person is. And that person who receives the prophecy discerns that they are seen. And that relationship becomes more connected. You know? And if I wish that you prophesy one to another, if that is a lifestyle of living and relating to one another, not just through gifts, not just through, we can use the gifts as a occupation. Like you go to the pharmacy and somebody like, hey, you know, you need prescription pills, 30 prescription pills. Okay. Here you go. Or a doctor's office. Okay, you need your body healed, boom. Or a dentist, you know. It's not a transactional for healing. Once the healing takes place through the gift, there's now an exchange for union's sake, for love's sake. You know, once a parent teaches, heals, edifies their child, and their child grows to a stature where they don't need the parental relating, they become friends. Like Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. Now the exchange is in the quality of the word, and it's in the edification of one another. And edification is best when it's through friendship. If edification is through servanthood, it's only for a purpose. It's only for a purpose to do. You know? But he said, servants don't know what his master's doing. They don't know the depth of the intentionality of the master. But friends do. And that quality God wants in us, you know? And the specific quality is this exchange of revelation. You know, what if revelation is the gift that is only activated properly through friendship. You know, when I'm fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in the dimension of revelation, outside of the narrative of the human state, it's almost like we're conversating in heaven. And Paul says that in Philippians, for our citizenship, disposition, and our conversation, our exchange of quality of relating is in heaven. So he's if we can picture that, like citizenship and conversation is in heaven. It's not of heaven or about heaven. It's in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places. Like we are remembering not just who we are, but where we are, you know, how we are. All these different qualities are exposed but they are properly relating through this union. You know, once the healing takes place, there is a relating that is a friendship that is stronger than a brother. You know, I think Proverbs says that there's a friendship that is stronger than a brother. And those that I am in koinonia with and fellowship with, man, this relationship is stronger. It's like a David and Jonathan relationship, you know? It's an eternal covenant and covenantal exchange where the Spirit of the Lord can just express whatever, because the more we fellowship and commune, the bigger the bridge is, or the wider the bridge, the more stable and sturdy, and that therefore we can carry deeper cargo one to another, and there can be an update and exchange. There could be so much going on within that sharing of revelation. Not necessarily, hey, this is what I'm learning, but it's the spirit of prophecy. It has direct intentionality to empower and encourage, you know. And it's an organism, you know, just like when you're praying or praying in spirit, or and then the spirit takes over, you now encounter, you're in the current of the river. Even though it seems like you're rowing, there's a current that's taking you. It's the same thing when we fellowship in the quality of love and friendship, that the reality of Christ surfaces even greater, and there is no limit. I've had some relationships where we would be fellowshipping so long, and it would be so important, because like, it's not necessarily what we do that's most important to God. It's who we are to Him. Like you said, one of the guys like, you know, I did this in your name. I did all these things. I looked like Jesus in the earth. And he said, I never knew you. So there is a knowing through the exchange of intimacy that God desires. Not just the knowing and exchange of intimacy with Him, but He also said, separate the goats between the sheep. Those who are sheep, you did this to me. You did this to me. You did it. You're like, when do we do that? When you did it to the least of these. So you're relating and serves your love, communion with one another is important also. You know? And these two dynamics are necessary, you know, and this one specific fellowship grace, I believe this is a missing piece. You know, all the relationships that I encounter this with, this koinonia, it's almost as if they're like, I understand the context of how the disciples moved. They weren't just individuals taking on assignments. They were inviting people to a people. They were inviting people to a union verse. You know? And this union verse was just so interconnected, man. Because of the exchange and the love one to another and the discovery. There was a limitless discovery in this communion verse, this union verse. You know? I really believe this element is so necessary, you know? Like I said, my friends, they saw this. They can see this as the context of how the disciples moved. They can see this as the context of everything in the scriptures. The context of why we do church, why we gather. But if this element isn't there, we're pulling slots. Although we are receiving, like Paul says, if you receive the consolation of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, like you're receiving all of this individually, but the main goal is to empower you to empower one another. Or I don't even want to say empower, because that makes it about doing. It enables you, or washes you, cleanses you from the illusion of separation between you and God and you and man. And the reality of that union, when that union is revealed, it's like a covenant of marriage. When they become one, it's now a discovery of that oneness. You know, the pursuit of before marriage is the discovery of oneness. But once the people are married, the oneness is now to be unpacked. It's a discovery, but more in an unfolding way. And when I experience this with my brothers, it creates such a strong bond and such an enduring bond and a fear of the Lord in the way, in the realm of relating to one another, but not in a way of like trying to do everything right, but in a way of play. It's like a parent being with kids at a playground, you know. It's a union, you know. So,
wow, 35 minutes. Jesus.
I don't know who this is for, but I went a whole year without recording anything, and I was done, but this stuck out, and I'm like, okay, you know, let me just be obedient. So just wanted to step out. It's so much that I can say, man, and I know there's another dynamic that I wanted to talk about in the realm of wisdom, in the realm of participating, like vision, as we're fellowshipping, vision unfolds, goals, spiritual goals, assignments, so much unfolds, you know, us praying, like he says, when they're in agreement, whatever they ask for, it'll be given. All these different things unfold, you know. These are like the branches of the tree, you know, but the tree is the union. Like the scripture saying, unless two are in agreement, they can't walk together. So there's a walking together in which the body exerts and expresses the organism of Christ's life and love towards humanity and towards one another. But even before that, there's a union and harmony in the realm of understanding each other and in the spirit of agreement. Not just doctrinally, you know, not just doctrinally, but relationally, grasping who you are. Grasping who you are, you know, as people. You know, and I recognize that, you know, I mean, we do church. We spend a lot of time in church and go to churches. And out of the years that we go to church, sometimes we may not know one another in the capacity of those years, you know. It's just like they say, when you go to work, you get to know those people more than your family, because you were there day in, day out, and you kind of got to talk to them because you're there, you know. The connection grows, all of that relationship, you know. The body of Christ is actually supposed to be the highest quality of relationship, you know. Of knowing one another. Fellowship. And we know every ship navigates. Discipleship navigates. Travels. You know, discipleship travels in our knowledge and alignment to the identity of Christ and his body. And the position in his body. You know, relationship is the same way. Fellowship. These are ships. You know, and these travel, they navigate the knowledge of Christ one to another, you know. So this is actually the utmost important, or else church will be a business and not a family, you know. Families can do things. They can go out together. They can do, you know, do projects together, but the main goal of a family is the living room, is love, is the love, harmony, the discovery of love, of what they are as a family, the community, the culture. everybody having a voice, everybody having a part to play, everybody seeing and understanding each other. All these qualities are discovered in the family. You know, so I'm going to end here. And I do know that not everybody will get this. Not everybody will grasp this. To some people, it may just seem like I'm just ranting. I get it. But Jesus said, he with the ear, let them hear. And so, you know, for me, like, when it comes to hearing stuff, sometimes I gotta listen twice. I gotta listen with the humility to hear the Spirit. Listen with the humility to hear what the Spirit is saying, to hear how the Spirit is filtering what is being said, you know? Because when you have that posture of hearing, you can hear the Spirit through a movie. You can hear the Spirit through a billboard, you know? And for me, like, that's been my upbringing in the kingdom. It's like the Spirit speaks through anything. I see why Proverbs says the Holy Spirit, or wisdom, is crying out in the marketplace, in the, you know, in town square. Like, that's the public place. But you don't see, but you discern the Spirit doing that. Through movies, through politics, through everything, if you can pay attention to that. So, like I said, I don't expect everybody to understand this. This may be really deep. Maybe. I don't know. Everybody's capacity is different. Don't feel disqualified. Ask questions. But this is very important. This is like probably one of the most important things that Christ taught the disciples to do. He says, I leave you with this one command. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, serve one another as I have served you. And this love is not just servants to servants, or else that makes the work the main event. It's friendship that makes the relationship, the beings that you are doing with, the most important. You know, that makes you a forest of trees that are inhabiting this land together, but yet people are coming to pick from the fruit, you know? So, bless you.